English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Pour télécharger ces leçons, allez sur le site internet www.lavoixdelamérique.com, cliquez sur Apprenez l'anglais et retrouvez les leçons d'anglais spéciales Sénégal.
Daouda est le plus célèbre boucher de Bantouka. Metou est une fidèle cliente, mais pas facile à satisfaire. Nous allons écouter la conversation. Vous répondrez par vrai ou faux, true ou false, à ces deux énoncés. 1. Metou avait acheté de la bonne viande avec Daouda. 2. Daouda essaya de vendre à Metou de la viande de poulet. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. Combien de kilos de viande d'agneau Metou veut-elle? 2. Pourquoi Daouda propose-t-il du foie à Metou? 3. Pour Metou, à quoi ressemble la viande du lapin accroché? Vous entendrez comment utiliser le mode impératif. Vous entendrez aussi le vocabulaire relatif à la boucherie. Nous allons écouter la conversation.
Come on, come on, come and buy. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the best fresh meat from Bantouka.
Hi, Daouda. Today, I'll take 2 kilos of tender lamb leg.
What's the occasion, Metou? Is it Valentine's Day or Women's Day?
Every day is Valentine's Day for me and for my husband.
Really? I can see that.
I'd like to prepare a special dish tonight.
I have everything you need. Beef, veal, mutton, even chicken and rabbit.
Didn't you sell me horse meat last time? I cooked it for 3 hours. It was too hard for my poor little old husband.
Metou, sister, buy him some leather. It would take you less time to cook and it's easier on this stomach.
Don't start again now, you sneaky salesman. Be polite.
Okay, Metou, don't worry. I have fresh mutton for you. Look at it. Did you say 2 kilos?
Yes, please. Say, what's that meat over there?
Rabbit. It's a whole rabbit. You want one? You'll be the first client. Come on, what will it be? Cutlet or legs?
No, thank you, Daouda. That hanging thing looks like a cat.
A cat? That's too exotic. I just sell common meat. And you know, everything has been controlled at the slaughterhouse.
Oh, please. When did the government build a slaughterhouse in Bantouka?
I have onions, charcoal, potatoes, pepper.
I thought you were a butcher. This butcher shop looks more like a bazaar.
We don't sell anything bizarre here.
Nous avons entendu dans ce dialogue le boucher Daouda et la cliente Metou. L'énoncé 1 est faux. Metou avait acheté de la bonne viande tendre avec Daouda. L'énoncé 2 est faux. Daouda essaya de vendre à Metou de la viande de poulet. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Combien de kilos de viande d'agneau Metou veut-elle? 2 kilos. 2. Pourquoi Daouda propose-t-il du foie à Metou? Ça prend moins de temps à cuire. 3. Pour Metou, à quoi ressemble la viande du lapin accroché? À un chat. Nous allons maintenant apprendre le vocabulaire de la viande utilisé par Daouda et leur traduction anglaise. Écoutez et répétez. Viande de bœuf, beef. Viande de veau, veal. Viande de mouton, mutton. Foie, liver. Poulet, chicken. Viande de lapin, rabbit. Répétons enfin ces phrases de Daouda et de Metou.
come and buy, come and buy. Buy him some leather.
Don't start again now.
Look at it.
Ces phrases sont à l'impératif. Elles expriment ici une invitation, une mise en garde, un conseil. L'utilisation de l'impératif à la deuxième personne est simple et le sujet n'est pas exprimé. Nous avons entendu Daoda et sa fidèle cliente, Metu. Vous avez appris le vocabulaire de la boucherie et aussi appris comment utiliser l'impératif pour exprimer une invitation, une mise en garde ou un conseil. Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Dans cette leçon de Business English, nous allons nous familiariser avec les formules ou phrases utilisées lors d'une première rencontre. Comment l'on se présente l'un à l'autre? Where do you come from? D'où venez-vous? Vous allez entendre le verbe to come, venir. To come from, venir de quelque part. Les pronoms personnels I, je, et you, vous ou tu. Et les pronoms possessifs « my », mon, et « your », votre ou ton. Par exemple, « my name is Michelle », je m'appelle Michel, littéralement « mon nom est Michel ».« Where do you come from ?»« D'où venez-vous ?»« I come from Washington », »« Je viens de Washington ». Listen, écoutez attentivement le dialogue qui suit dans le contexte d'une rencontre d'affaires, a business meeting. Business, meeting, un meeting, une rencontre. Kathy vient de New York et Max de San Francisco.
My name is Kathy. I come from New York.
New York?
Yes, New York. Where do you come from, Max?
I come from San Francisco.
San Francisco?
That's right. San Francisco, California.
Écoutez et répétez. Listen and repeat. Répétez à haute voix.
I come from San Francisco.
Je viens de San Francisco.
I come from San Francisco.
I come from New York.
Je viens de New York.
I come from New York.
I come from California.
Je viens de la Californie.
I come from California.
I come from the United States.
Je viens des États-Unis.
I come from the United States.
Where do you come from? D'où venez-vous? D'où viens-tu? Répétez après moi. Where do you come from? I come from Dakar. Where do you come from? I come from Accra. Where do you come from? I come from Lagos. Where do you come from? I come from Abidjan. Where do you come from? I come from Libreville. Vous écoutez La Voix de l'Amérique, Business English, l'anglais commercial. Et en parlant de communication dans le monde des affaires, parlons d'un outil très utilisé, le téléphone, the telephone, ou the phone, ou bien encore The cell phone, le téléphone cellulaire. Une phrase courante aux États-Unis, give me a call, donnez-moi un coup de fil. I'll give you a call, je vous donnerai un coup de fil, ou je te donnerai un coup de fil. I will give you a call. A call, un coup de fil. Give us a call, donnez-nous un coup de fil. Dans le dialogue qui suit, Kathy est au téléphone avec Wu Hongli, qui vient de la Chine. Elle lui explique qu'elle vient de New York et lui qu'il vient de Pékin. Vocabulaire, city, ville. What city? Quelle ville? From what city? De quelle ville? De quelle ville venez-vous? Il va lui demander, from what city?
Hello.
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 My name is Wu Hongli. I come from China.
From China?
That's right. I come from China. Do you come from New York City?
I come from New York City. What city do you come from, Mr. Wu?
What city? I come from Beijing.
You come from Beijing?
Yes, I come from Beijing.
Okay, Mr. Wu. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Listen and repeat. Écoutez et répétez.
New York City.
La ville de New York.
I come from New York City.
Je viens de la ville de New York.
Where do you come from?
I come from New York City.
California.
I come from California.
Where do you come from?
D'où venez-vous? D'où viens-tu?
I come from California.
China.
La Chine.
I come from China.
Where do you come from?
I come from China.
A question for you.
Une question pour vous.
Now, here's a question for you.
Donnez votre réponse.
Where do you come from? I see.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Welcome to lesson number 78 of English USA. Bonjour et bienvenue à la leçon numéro 78 d'English USA. Aujourd'hui, nous allons à un procès avec Martin Lerner. We are going to court. Il va avec son fils qui n'a jamais été dans un tribunal. Dans cette leçon, vous apprendrez à décrire l'apparence des gens. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Au cours de cette leçon, vous apprendrez des expressions et des phrases que vous pourrez employer pour décrire l'aspect physique des gens et l'impression donnée par les personnes que vous rencontrez. Aujourd'hui, Martin Lerner, accompagné de son fils, est venu assister à un procès, a trial, dans le tribunal de sa juridiction. Son fils est bien curieux et lui pose des questions, par exemple, « What's happening? Qu'est-ce qui se passe? Ou que se passe-t-il? » What's happening? Nothing yet? Rien encore? Nothing yet? The judge is 6 feet tall. Le magistrat ou le juge fait plus d'un mètre 90. He has a lot of white hair. Il a beaucoup de cheveux blancs. Écoutons leur conversation avant que le procès ne commence.
Let's sit here, Alan. You can see everything. Excuse me, please. Are these seats taken?
Excuse me. Thanks. What's happening, Dad?
Nothing yet. What do you want to know?
Everything. I've never been in a courtroom before. Of course, I've seen them on TV and the movies. Is that the person on trial?
Which one? The one with blonde hair?
No, the young man at the other table. He looks very excited.
No, the one on trial is that short man. The plaintiff is the tall, thin woman in front of us. She's the victim.
She looks very confident. Are you sure she's the victim?
Of course. You can be a victim and still be confident.
I know. I was kidding. I thought she was a lawyer.
Why?
I don't know. She's well-dressed. She looks very nice.
She's the main witness. She needs to look her best. She wants the court to believe her.
Who is that woman sitting at that little table?
She takes down everything people say in the courtroom.
She seems very uncomfortable. What is that machine? Is it some kind of tape recorder?
No, she types on it.
Doesn't look like a typewriter. It's too small.
It's a special kind of typewriter. The court must have a written record of what is said in the trial. You'll see, someone will ask her later to repeat what someone else said.
Is it time to begin?
Yes. We're waiting for the judge.
Where is he?
He's probably in a room behind that door on the left.
Why is he waiting?
He's probably studying his papers before he comes in. He'll be here in a minute.
Do you know the judge?
I've seen him. His picture is in the newspaper or on TV now and then.
What does he look like?
Miss Richards, could you describe the man you say came to your door?
Of course. He was very short.
How old was he?
I'll come to that. He was very short. He was shorter than average. Maybe only 4.5 feet tall. He was also heavy.
Do you mean fat?
I don't use that word.
Was he what other people might call fat?
He was heavier than average.
So he was short and fat.
Vous avez sans doute essayé de raconter un événement ou une histoire vécue. En vous servant de votre imagination, jouez la scène et employez le vocabulaire que vous venez d'entendre. Mais écoutez d'abord la conversation entre Martin et son fils, qui vous servira d'exemple pour décrire l'aspect physique des gens.
The one with blonde hair? It must be the tall, thin woman in front of us.
She looks very pleased. She's well dressed. She looks very nice.
He's more than 6 feet tall. He weighs about 200 pounds.
Pour vous familiariser avec l'art de décrire l'apparence des gens, essayez de répondre aux questions de Martin Lerner. Faites comme si vous vouliez décrire un trait particulier de l'aspect physique d'un de vos amis. Écoutez bien, il vous demandera par exemple « What color is your friend's hair ?» Quelle est la couleur des cheveux de votre ami ?« What color is your friend's hair ?» Et vous répondrez ce que vous voulez. Il vous demandera aussi « How tall is your friend ?» Quelle taille a votre ami ? Ou bien encore « How old is your friend ?» Allez-y, répondez.
« What color is your friend's hair ?» « How tall is your friend ?»
Let's describe some people that we know. Décrivons des personnes que l'on connaît. I'm going to describe my father. Je vais décrire mon père. He is above average height. Il a un peu plus de la taille moyenne pour homme. He is above average height. He has gray hair. Il a les cheveux gris. Si vous parlez de la taille, vous pouvez dire short, tall, ou bien average height, de taille moyenne. And that's it for lesson number 78 of English USA. Et voilà pour cette leçon numéro 78 d'English USA. I hope you learned how to describe people you know well. J'espère que vous avez bien appris à décrire les gens que vous connaissez bien. And what about yourself? Et vous-même, pouvez-vous vous décrire? And what about yourself? Pourriez-vous faire oralement un autoportrait? Pourquoi pas? It's good practice. Try it. And you know it by heart. Vous connaissez bien par cœur. In the meantime, entre-temps, have a great practice and a wonderful week. Goodbye.
Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais?
C'est fait!
Avec Anglais Télé, notre programme interactif télé multimédia.
C'est à votre tour de parler.
It's your turn to talk.
No, it's my turn to talk.
No, it's their turn to talk.
Mais vous aurez l'occasion d'intervenir en direct
et de pratiquer l'anglais avec
Michel
et Roger.
Nous répondrons à vos questions.
Nous vous aiderons à formuler vos phrases. Participez à Anglais Télé.
Retrouvez-nous aussi sur notre groupe Facebook Anglais Télé.
Hello and welcome to Anglais Télé. My name is Michelle Joseph. You can find us also on Facebook, Anglais Télé. I have a guest with me here today.
Daniel Crafton. Je suis Daniel Crafton. Merci, Michelle.
Je vous en prie. Welcome, Daniel. Vous êtes le bienvenu. And we are talking about forms of communication. We've already talked about talking and sounds, and now we're going to go to a learned technique to communicate, which is writing, to write, le verbe écrire, and to write. Voilà. So, this of course expands communication, right?
Right.
Because write, and yes, of course.
Into books and newspapers and magazines and all sorts of sources that people read that
right.
What you write.
Letters, right. Des lettres, des livres, les journaux, les magazines. Tout ce qui a trait à l'écriture. Everything to do with writing, you can discover through these mediums.
And
what's your favorite, Dan?
Favorite writing?
Yes. What, do you like newspapers? Do you like books?
Books.
Books. Me too. I have a soft spot for books.
I read a book all the time.
Yeah, me too. I'm a bookworm.
But I like classic writers.
Yeah.
The problem with classic writers, you know, is that it depends on what language they write in. It can be confusing. It can even cause wars.
Oh.
It can cause peace.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
And it can unite people. I mean, just
exactly.
Like...
exactly.
War and Peace by, I forgot the Russian author's name, but all these huge, big...
Tolstoy,
exactly. Yeah. These human topics, they just transcend time and culture. So if anyone can read these major books, classics...
Well, books can, like Uncle Tom's Cabin...
Oh, okay, La Cage de l'Oncle Tom.
Right. It's a book, an American book, by a woman named Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Yes, that revolutionized the whole...
Well, it also caused the Civil War.
That's true, because, you know, she created a personal relationship that suddenly brought the status of slavery into the homes of people as they were reading. And they could relate to the injustice.
They could relate to the injustice, and that's what caused the war.
Right.
Because they wanted to keep their slaves and...
Right, those who wanted to keep them.
Slaves.
Right.
And they caused the country to break in two.
Right, exactly. So books, writing is very powerful.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So is writing more powerful than talking?
I think it is. Well, the Gutenberg Bible... The
right.
First book ever written.
That's true.
You know?
I guess writing is a continuation and an expansion of that initial talking.
And the books that were written that were very controversial, like some we've just named.
Right.
Caused peace and wars and enlightenment of education.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And knowledge.
Absolutely.
Right? So, yeah, I think writing is really important.
Writing is very powerful, l'écriture, écrire.
And reading doesn't mean anything
without,
if you don't have writing.
Absolutely, because reading is the act of deciphering writing.
See, right.
It's kind of like a discovery. You have to decipher the letters and the words together and the sentences together, and that creates a whole picture.
And, of course, in different languages, the same phrase could mean something entirely different and be taken out of context and cause problems.
Right. And just the act of learning how to read in a language, it takes quite a few... takes a while. And then, of course, some languages, the reading is in different directions.
Right. Up and down and right and left.
Right. Up and down for Chinese characters.
And Japanese.
Japanese and I think Korean as well. I'm not sure.
No, Korean's right and left.
Oh, right and left for Korean. Right and, left. And I think for Arabic, it's left to right.
And English is right to left.
English and a lot of the Romance languages are
French, right to, Italian.
Right.
You know, all Spanish, all those languages.
Right. Latin-based, I
right.
guess.
Latin-based languages.
So it's such a huge world, writing by itself and then reading by itself. So.
And of course, the writers that wrote a lot of times had their own ideas about history and life and how the world should be formed. And
absolutely. And if you're not reading many books, many newspapers, you can stay locked in to a particular narrow viewpoint.
Right. Well, the book you talked about, War and Peace,
right,
is 1,200 pages.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. Okay, so we've covered writing. I think we have. And we will get back with you about another form of communication. So stay with us shortly. Hello and welcome back. This is Michelle Joseph with Anglais Télé. You can also find us on Facebook. We went through talking, writing, reading, and now there's another universal language beyond words, based in math and based on numbers. And I think, you know, everyone in the world understands it, because when you're a little baby or child, you start by counting your fingers. That is something you learn, and your toes, of course, and everyone else's fingers and toes.
Well, let's not forget computer language is all zeros and ones.
Ooh, he's getting complicated very quickly. We're not going there yet.
Okay.
We're just going to talk about counting and math and arithmetic, and that is also a language that everyone in the world understands. I can go to a market in Mali, Bamako, and I say, how much? How much, you know?
And combien?
Combien? Ça coûte combien? How much does this cost? And I want two or I want three, you know, and, you know, I can probably get what I want just from math. What do you think? I mean, just by showing my fingers and counting and, you know, I think I could handle it. Do you?
Yes.
Could you handle it?
I have.
Right, he has. He's a world traveler. I'm telling on you.
No, don't tell on
that. Well, everyone should know that. So math and
without math,
numbers,
you're really a problem in traveling.
Absolutely. So math,
you know, you
is universal.
A lot too.
Absolutely, math is the universal language. You know, that just overrides, you know, different countries' languages and all of that.
Well, you know, when they sent the, I have to get complicated just for a second, when they sent the spaceship up with the symbols of man and woman and our civilization about 30 years ago or so, I don't remember exactly when it was, it said symbols of, and it had, and as a language inside it, it had math.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, and Earth languages.
Okay.
But the main language that over the top was math.
It was math. Okay.
Yes.
And
because they figured the people from another galaxy or another part of our galaxy,
right,
would understand math over Russian.
Absolutely. Over a particular language.
Right.